I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude. This is Real Spoilers, episode 487, the kind of sort of box office report.
The not box office report.
For the week ending June 23rd. There.
Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice to get those positive reinforcements.
Good job, Tom.
Thank you. Well, now it's now it just feels...
No, it's weird.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't want your pity, Kevin.
Bad job, Tom.
Wait a minute.
Mediocre job, Tom.
Well, he's used to hearing that.
Yeah. I would complain, but I guess after the opening, I can't really then immediately turn around and complain about someone being snarky.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I guess shameless plugs. We'll start there. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We have a review.
What?
It's been a little bit.
It has.
Yeah. This is from DizLover816, which I love to see. Like,
Could be Disney.
So many people... have forgotten about Dizzy Gillespie. And it's nice to see someone carrying that
at
torch.
Least, what was the number at the end?
816.
Well, see, 815 people before this
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, or they're from Kansas City.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the 816.
Yes, that could be that as well. A sincere thank you. That's the headline. I'm not thanking.
That was the end of the review.
I'm not thanking either of you two bastards.
Oh, damn it.
Hello, all. I am proud to say this week I officially finished grad school for becoming a physician's assistant.
That's fantastic. Okay. Congratulations.
I wanted to thank you because I couldn't have done it without this podcast, which pretty much means we're all doctors.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
As far as, I mean, we've had a doc, we've had Nicole on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, we're legit.
Yeah. Astro, yeah. Rocket, scientist, botanist.
Yeah. Yep. Sure.
Just like Brian May. Yeah. From the three-hour drives to study breaks to downtime between classes, you've been there. Your humor has always made me laugh, and your honest passion on films always made me appreciate something I loved even more. I saw a movie almost every weekend,
oh my
and even
gosh.
If I saw it alone, I could know my movie uncles would have a discussion I felt like I could weigh in on.
That's awesome. I love that. That's
movie
fantastic.
Uncles.
Yeah, well.
I guess
would you rather be movie grandpa?
That's fair enough. I was like, oh man, I guess if we ever break up, that'll be the name of the new podcast I start.
Movie uncles.
Movie uncles.
Good luck.
Trademark it.
Y'all seem like pretty cool dudes who do this because you love it, and that's pretty inspiring for me at least. So thank you guys for the last 2.5 years of box office superheroes and monkeys references.
Oh man.
I look forward to having you guys with me as I begin my next journey. Sarah, PA, which I assume means physician's assistant, not Pennsylvania.
Sad news, Sarah. This is our last episode. We're done.
Yeah. We can't top that review, so we're checking out.
We were only doing this for you, Sarah.
Yeah. Once you're done, man.
I mean, you have to become a doctor or something for us to keep doing this. So
time to fly, little birdie. So if you would like to leave a review, we would love to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
But honestly, congratulations, Sarah. And yeah, thank you for writing in.
Also, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can like the page. And, of course, while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers group, where there's always kind of different conversations and stuff going on. People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith, Griffin Fox Smith, no relation, Michael Tonkovic, Lane Levanway, Susan,
also no relation.
Yes. Susan Carlson, Tammy Sherman Powers, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Richard Lawson, Tom Comiskey, Jason Wasmund.
Oh, that's a new one.
I believe so. Ralph Tribble, Zara Vandercreek.
So, man, she's killing it.
Fun to say.
Yeah. Great name.
Chris, I'm so Sanders, glad you're still here.
Chris Sanders, Dylan A. Lang, and Jason Weese. So thank you very much for sharing the shows, and we appreciate it. And so also our Patreon account, as Kevin looks at me sideways because I was about to forget, is at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get bonus content, and occasionally we dip into that pool, and someone gets elevated to guest for the week, if you want to consider that an elevation.
Yeah, you know, you're like somebody you bring on SNL. They're just like, oh, interesting. I didn't think they'd be on the show, but yeah. All right.
This week, in honor of the Batman 30th anniversary, we already did the latest animated movie, but we're tackling Batman 89. So head over there for all your Batman 89 info.
Got to tell you, hold up. Did not expect that to happen.
Been saying that for years.
I got to the end. I was like, huh.
Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Good to know.
Well, yeah. I don't want to spoil it. I mean, find out what we thought of Batman 89 on Patreon.
I saw someone the other day. There was a story about Michael Keaton on David Letterman.
I saw that. That's insane.
Huh? Where he was
he spoiled it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he spoiled the movie. He spoiled Batman the night before it came out on Late Night with David Letterman.
He's on Letterman.
What was the spoiler?
That the Joker.
He was like. Letterman asked him about
you think, like, just about the movie in general,
about like Batman's motivation.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, like his parents were killed. And he's like, oh, and he's like,
oh, he said the Joker.
And he's like,
his
who
parents.
Did? He's like, well, the Joker did. And he's like, but he doesn't find that out until later. And then he's like, I think I just kind
of. Letterman's like, I think you just gave away the end of the
and
movie.
And there's like an audible groan from the crowd. Because, like, nobody, you know, it's pre-internet, so there's no leaks or rumors.
It's 89. There's nothing of that.
There's not even a way for people to ramp each other up with rumors. Like, and so, like, the whole crowd is like,
ugh. And you can see the look on his face, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Eh, you're going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, think of how much money it would have made if he didn't spoil it.
But it's just, it's. Could you imagine?
It was also airing it, like, 12:30 at
right
night.
And I think showings had already, like, that was one of the first times that they were doing like midnight
10 p.m showings.
Yeah, there was like,
did they? I don't remember.
Yeah But could you imagine 2019 Daisy Ridley goes on Fallon or Colbert?
No, I
and
can't
accidentally
no.
That's what I mean.
That would be somehow pulled immediately. J.J. Abrams, he would press a button he has access to, and it would just shut everything.
The feed would immediately cut. It would
go, wow.
I just felt like the biggest movie of 1989, and the lead actor spoils the end of the movie.
But that's, I mean, that really does not hinge, like, your enjoyment doesn't hinge on that spoiler.
No.
I mean, that's just a reveal that's cool, you know, and it's so original for that movie. But, I mean, it doesn't spoil what happens in the end or all the things along the way that you enjoy.
Man, that's a pretty big plot point.
Because up till then, it's like anybody that followed the comics was like, well,
Joe Chill.
It's Joe Chill who killed his parents.
Right,
so that was a
nameless criminal.
A material shift in lore. Like,
no,
that,
definitely.
You know, so
it's a neat reveal, but it doesn't really affect. I mean, Batman was going to take down the Joker either way.
Yeah.
It's just one of those extra things that is really cool, but you're not going to not enjoy the movie even if you knew that spoiler, but. It's
one of the few.
Yeah, it's not like a major twist.
Exactly.
No, yeah,
it's
right.
Not like, yeah, if you go and spoil The Sixth Sense, you know.
That he's like Batman's brother.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was funny to see him be like, oh no.
Yeah. He was Tom Holland before being Tom
he
Holland.
He was Tom
school.
Holland. Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe he should have played his father, and he should have been Uncle Ben.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
So,
did they just skip? They skipped it, right? They were just
Uncle
like,
Ben?
Uncle Ben was dead.
He says in Homecoming, he's like, she's had a rough year.
Yeah.
And that's all they say.
Thank God.
Yeah. Which is like,
we don't need another origin story. Like,
no,
that
we don't.
Was so smart.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we already had two in pretty recent years, so it's like, that was like, a good move.
Yeah, it was 02 and, what, I mean, 2014?
Something, 2011, I think.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, okay. 2010 or 2011, okay. But yeah.
But anyway, so there's all that. I guess we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And I guess this will be kind of a short box office because we have yet again another kind of twist-a-roo to the box office format. You guys have a couple mini reviews.
Yeah.
Did we want to tackle them inside of the box office as we get to them?
Yeah, I think. Okay. Should we make sure that they all showed up?
What's that?
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to talk about one little kind of important news bit?
Well, sure.
Is that Vertigo from DC Comics is gone. The mature themed imprint, they've closed it. It's finished.
But
they've,
the comics are just going to be under DC.
But they will, but the Vertigo banner at one point was like a symbol of
this
excellence.
It's like this means something different. Yeah. This is going to be.
Yeah, there's some. Yeah. I mean, the current comic creators that we see today came from Vertigo.
Gotcha.
So Grant Morrison, Mark Miller.
Neil Gaiman,
Warren Ellis, like all those guys cut their teeth in Vertigo. So it's like the Alan Moore Swamp Thing or the Hellblazer.
Although some of that predated.
They got moved into it.
Yeah.
I think that's why they're doing it, you know, because they're like, well, people are taking these more seriously than the DC comics now if we have good DC comics coming out.
I think also it was a way they were trying to be like, hey, these aren't for kids.
Yeah.
And I think they've completely given up on the notion that kids are reading comic books.
Yeah, they aren't.
And so it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's not.
And I know that it also, like, I think they also were trying to, in that early Sandman run,
mm-hmm.
they, like, kind of forced a DC crossover.
Then they did it in Swamp Thing as well.
Yeah, and onto Gaiman, and I don't think he was a big fan of that.
No.
And they were, and so that was their way of kind of moving those characters from the DCU.
They pulled those characters, the Authority and all of that, actually Wildstorm, but it's all kind of the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they pulled Swamp Thing and Constantine and Scalped and Why the Last Man. And, you know, there's The Kitchen, which is actually, I just saw a trailer for, is coming to theaters. Like that was a Vertigo book. So it's just like Vertigo, as far as that imprint, was very important. Karen Berger was the editor of that, and like she was kind of the one that brought in kind of those that British invasion of talent. So a lot of those guys.
She was responsible for the Beatles.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, like all of those guys that worked on 2000 AD and books like that, she brought over Frank Quitely, those kind of guys, to DC, and then those guys kind of moved from the Vertigo imprint over to the big guys. And it's kind of sad, man. It's like it's a sad day that they tried to reboot it last year, I think. And really the only book that I stuck with was American Carnage by St. Louis' own Brian Edward Hill, which is fantastic. Like, it's a great read if you ever get a chance to go pick that up. But a lot of the other ones kind of fell off, except for The Kitchen, which is honestly, like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, that can't be. And then it says DC Vertigo, and I was like, well, apparently it is.
They turn it into a TV show?
No, it's a movie.
Oh.
With Melissa McCarthy.
You just stop there.
No, who's the the gal from Mad Men? She was in Us.
Oh,
Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Tiffany Haddish. And basically, the story is.
Oh, it's I saw it at a theater. I saw a trailer for that, and I didn't realize it was.
Hell's Kitchen in the 70s, and like all of their husbands were mob guys.
Yeah,
and they get pinched. And it's up to the women to kind of
take over the business.
And they kind of go to war with the Irish and the Italians. And it looks, I mean, the book was, I never read the book because it was just like, eh.
Because it's about women.
It was about women in charge. Like, come on. No,
come on.
No.
I mean, men in capes are one thing,
like,
but.
Zip around the, you know.
This bodes well for all those people that don't like our wokeness.
Yeah. We're bringing them back in.
Right. But yeah, it's a sad day to lose that imprint at DC Comics.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, but I think at least they're not shutting all those comics down. They're just bringing them in under a unified label.
Well, there is no Swamp Thing book right now. There's no Hellblazer book right now.
But they're not. I mean, they're not. When it comes back, it will be DC.
Probably.
It's just they're trying to
I think ultimately it just shows that comic books don't feel the need to to segment like that anymore.
Right.
No, right. Because comic book means something different than it used to. Now it's like, okay, people accept comic books, so you don't have to have this kind of comic book.
Sure.
Comic book for the whatever. You know, it's right. Like, okay, it's DC or you're Marvel or you're one of the others. But
Preacher was the other one. Like Preacher was a Vertigo book. So.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think somebody on the page was like, oh, it's a shame that they didn't make any of these into properties. And I was like, well.
Cherry Pop-Tart?
That was not a Vertigo book, but all right. But it's just like, I think most of the Vertigo books, with the exception of like Dream and Sandman, like those books are, that will never be a thing. Like that's too big and too weird to be a TV show or a movie. But like all those other ones have been.
Aren't they creating a Sandman TV show?
They've been trying to do with that for years.
Was it Joseph Gordon-Levitt the one that was?
He's been attached to it. I think he's off of it now because like they weren't going
to
do what he wanted to do with it.
And for a while, wasn't there supposed to be like a cartoon? They were going to make it a cartoon.
Oh,
but like an HBO cartoon.
Yeah, like Spawn.
Yeah.
The cartoon.
So
that was a thing.
It was.
I remember.
So
I watched it.
RIP Vertigo.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cool. Well, I guess we can now dig into the box office.
Yes, we can, Tom. I have my abacus ready. You kind of threw me off there.
Well, I already said it once, and it felt weird to say it again.
Well, I have put it down. Would you like to check if I have it ready now?
Oh, how's that abacus going?
I don't know. I don't have it.
Okay.
So this weekend, you know, at the top of the box office here, Anna with 3.6.
I was like, what?
Oh, I was reading 10 to 1. Okay, I'm sorry. So coming in at number one at the box office, no surprise at all, Toy Story 4. It was estimated, it was kind of a toss-up. I mean, the range was $110 million to $200 million. They didn't know how it would perform, although they knew it would make a decent amount of money. It came in on the low end at $120 million. But the thing with this one is there's a lot of skepticism out there. There's a lot of people saying it's unnecessary, it's a cash grab, and I think the word of mouth is really going to carry this one.
Yeah, I know my Facebook feed has been full of people just raving about it. Yeah.
Same deal.
Because people, I mean, and I get it. I get the reservations, but people, and I said this on Twitter, people are dismissing this movie, and I've been making sure I keep posting about it and saying, do not dismiss this movie. Just because you didn't ask for it, it's a really good movie, and we're obviously going to get into it next episode, but you have all those people that aren't going to see it opening weekend, but when they hear all this and they hear how good it is, you know, I think the second week's going to be very strong.
And it's a solid,
And it's summer, so kids can go see it all during the week, you know, so it will continue to have some strong numbers here. But
and I feel like Pixar needed a hit. I mean, Incredibles 2 was a hit.
Incredibles
Coco
2
was a hit.
Nemo,
was that them?
Don't Find Dory was a hit.
Yeah.
They all have been a hit except for that
Good Dinosaur.
Well, they went on that
Good Dinosaur.
But then I think something else.
Cars 3, I think.
Underperformed. But it's about the car toys. I mean,
But I wouldn't say that it wasn't a hit.
I thought Coco was Disney. I forgot. That it was Pixar.
Yeah.
No, they're pretty solid. It's just the problem is they're going back to the well, and I think people are getting frustrated with that. So you know, they've been kind of doing like every other movie. They've been doing these sequels where they first start off with all these originals, and now we're on Toy Story 4, Cars 4, I think is in the works. You know, we're going
doing
back
that
to,
again.
Yeah, that's a bad,
I think they are going
silly.
Back to the. I think because of the toys, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids. They remember when Cars 3 was coming out. Cars 2 toys were still in stores.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure Cars 3 toys are still in stores. Like they never leave. It's one of those things where you're used to movie toys where they get clearanced after. About 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, through the holidays. And Cars was the first time I remember a movie toy just always being there. And I just thought, this is so weird. This movie came out a year and a half ago.
Right.
And it's like a branded, you know, and it's not just Cars as a generic movie franchise. It's Cars 2 toys. Yeah. I'm like, how are these still? But so anyway.
But they announced they've got two of them coming out, right? They've got Pixar has that.
Yeah, yeah. So they have. Yeah, so they have.
Soul is the one that they just
released. Soul is a year from now. And then later this year is like a monster one with Chris Pratt.
And Tom Holland.
Yeah. So they are doing originals still, but it now it's like every other one instead of giving a string of originals. And I think people are starting to get a little frustrated with that about dipping back to the well. You know, they're doing it because they make money. So it makes sense. But anyway, so. Listen up for the next episode, and if you're not thinking of giving Toy Story 4 a chance, I would recommend you rethink that, and we'll tell you why next. So $120 million underperforming by estimates, but we'll see how it does in the coming weeks.
But not a crash and burn.
Not at all. Just underperforming.
Yeah.
Not a flopping, but you know, it's you know, people were thinking maybe it would fall in the middle to like 150. So, you know, when they saw 120, they're like, yikes. But, you know, people online have also been talking about, wow, it's crazy that we live in a world where a movie can make $120 million domestic.
We're like, meh.
And people are considering it a failure.
Yeah.
Like, that's just insane. Like, you either make $1 billion or you fail. And there's no middle ground of success anymore.
Yeah.
Because this is just domestic. $120 domestic. You know, I don't have the budget pulled up on this one, but I'm guessing it's like the mid, 150. Yeah, it's not on yet. But, you know, what is it? Probably 150 to 200 million because it's such a big movie with all the voices and stuff. And so 120.
And you know it's not cheap to get Tom Hanks and.
Oh, yeah, for a fourth movie.
For
exactly.
a fourth movie. Or Tim Allen.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I mean, Tim Allen, I feel like this is not. Like, Tim Allen's barely in this movie. And we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Like, as far as, like, whose movie it really is.
Yeah.
You still got to pay that guy to show up, though.
But, yeah,
sure.
You still got. Yeah. Because you, I mean, you can't recast Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So, anyway, but, yeah, we'll see what the budget was, but that's just 120 domestic. I don't have the overseas numbers yet, but, you know, I'm sure it will be around over 300 million worldwide opening weekend on a probably less than 200 million budget. So, and it will continue to make money. So it definitely isn't going to fail by any means.
Yeah.
So.
Plus you got a holiday weekend coming up.
Yeah.
Here in a little bit too. So.
So we'll get into that one next episode, but coming in at number two. Our first mini review of the weekend here, Child's Play, starring Mark Hamill as Chucky, $14.4 million on that one. I don't have a budget, do I? No. Oh, $10 million it says here. So 14.
That's not a Blumhouse, right? I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. No. No.
Okay.
No. It's not. United Artists.
Yeah, so okay. 14
under it's United Artists, but under Orion. It opened with that old
yeah.
school Orion,
did the Orion
logo.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, that's nice. Kind of cool.
Yeah, that was like the last cool thing you're going to get.
Oh, no.
That movie. I've never seen a Child's Play movie.
Is this your first one?
This is my first
one.
Well,
that's a shame.
So, like, if there
we
was.
We sure to send the right person to review the Child's Play reboot.
If there was fan service, like, it was completely lost on me. But,
okay.
But, yeah, I just don't. I don't get it, man.
That first one is. The first one is fun.
Yeah.
The second one is like, oh, we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This, like, it just balls out crazy, you know, melty doll faces. And, you know, he's.
Yeah, this was like, and I know they changed it up because, like, in the first one, it's like it's like a voodoo.
So in
spell.
The first one, Brad Dourif is a serial killer who is into voodoo and he's about to get caught. And he transfers his consciousness into a Chucky doll.
Yeah.
And then the factory explodes. The doll ends up in like a hobo's cart. And this mom who's like, you know, single mom, desperate to get her kid basically a My Buddy doll.
Yeah.
Sees the hobo.
Buys it from the hobo.
Well, because it's in the package. And she's like. Oh. I'll take it for, he's like, $50. She was like, done. It's like the Tickle Me Elmo of 1980s.
Yeah, it was like
whatever.
The Cabbage Patch.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, the thing starts doing things and they start blaming the kid. And the kid's like, I didn't do it. It was Chucky. And it turns out it was Chucky.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So this was, so they changed the origin. And this one, it's a disgruntled factory worker changes the code on it. And your Chucky doll is more like your Google Home. It can, like, which I'm like, okay. Like, I, like,
2019, I
yeah.
get it.
And, like, so you would, it's a doll that you can play with and will interact with you, but you can also be like, you know, Chucky, turn on the TV. Chucky, call me.
It's
a
like
cat.
From Black Mirror. It's like the Miley Cyrus.
Oh, it is. Yes.
Like the two. I don't remember what her name was.
Yeah.
Kind of forgettable episode. But
I mean, still. Yeah. But it sounds just like that.
But and honestly, all I could think the whole time was like there are infinitely better Black Mirror episodes that tread similar ground. And you don't get as much about the people like. It's more about the kid trying to stop the doll than it is about people thinking the kid is really the crazy one.
Okay. I saw Aubrey Plaza. I like Aubrey Plaza.
I was not impressed.
No.
And I like her.
Yeah.
And I was just like, she plays the mom.
Okay.
And she just kind of felt wasted.
You know, one thing I like about when I saw her cast as the mom in this movie, I like that they're now casting moms that are like, they're different than the moms you used to see in the 80s. You know what I mean? Like Aubrey Plaza, you don't think of her as a mom, but she's at the age where she would be a modern mom.
Well, they do have a line where they address the fact that, like, she's pretty young to have a kid this age.
She ain't no Dee Wallace, I'll tell you that.
And she even says a thing about, she has a joke about, like, how her Sweet 16 party got out of hand or something.
Yeah.
And, but But yeah, I mean,
like that though. You know, that you've got this Aubrey Plaza playing a mom, because at first it's a head scratch. You're like, what? But you're like, but wow, we're now the age where, you know, we're parents and people around us are all parents. And so we're used to see Aubrey Plaza as like more of a not a kid, but, you know, a very
young adult. Yeah.
But, you know, and you look back at the moms in our movies in the 80s when we grew up, and they look like that stereotypical mom.
Right.
Aubrey Plaza, who is in
Parks and Rec.
Well, yeah, of course, but, you know, when the, like, that Zac Efron and
Mike and whatever,
Mike and
whatever,
you know, you're thinking of Aubrey Plaza like that, and then you're like, oh, she's the mom in this movie, and it seems weird, and it's her first.
Was she in that awful
Grandpa?
She was in Dirty
movie.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, so she's in the raunchy comedies, but it's like, wow, she is the age to where she could be a mom these days, and I think that's cool and adds another dimension. I guess it didn't work out that well in this one, but I do like her.
There are some weird rights with this character, because I think the child's play, that's why he looks different, is
because they're still making a TV show,
a Chucky TV show
that follows the other.
Correct.
And in this one, he's actually called a buddy doll. It's B-U-D-D-I.
He wasn't called a my buddy. My buddy was a doll.
It was creepy as hell.
It's
Chucky.
Oh,
so my buddy was a real doll?
Yes.
And now they named him Buddy with an I.
There was my buddy and kid sister.
Okay.
Like, those were the two when I was a kid.
And the my buddy doll looks like Chucky.
Yes.
Like, when the Chucky
movie. He was a good guy.
Oh, yeah. Mr. What?
So in the Child's Play universe, he was a good guy doll.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. But like, when, I remember when Child's Play came out, because it came out in 88. So I was 17, 18 years old. And as soon as it came out, I was just like, well, this is my buddy. This is clearly supposed to be my buddy.
So they
and it had an irritating song.
It did.
My buddy.
My buddy.
This one does too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
So that's not pre-existing? They added that?
They had to. There was no, I don't remember there being a theme song for the My Buddy.
Yeah, he's got
a good guy doll.
A theme song.
Does Mark Hamill sing it?
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is he?
He's fine.
Okay.
Like, I felt like this movie could have been way more clever than it was. I felt like, especially making him kind of a Google Home device.
Yeah.
I felt like they could have done for Google Home what, like, you know, Dawn of the Dead did for Maul.
Sure.
And I feel like
made them awesome.
Yeah. But just kind of dissected.
Right.
You know, critiqued that culture.
The culture of,
and like, it's ripe for that. And I just felt like it was very much a missed opportunity.
Ah, man.
I heard a lot of people online were having reservations, and especially with Brad Dourif not doing the voice, the horror community was outraged over that. And then people just thinking it looked stupid. But the people that are seeing it are saying it's really fun. The horror, and I know you're not a big horror guy.
Right.
A lot of horror people are like, this is fun. It's stupid, but it's fun. A lot of laughs. And
what was the gore factor?
There were a couple scenes that got pretty gory.
Okay.
School gory, just like blood splashing. And there was one kind of gross out scene, like just the way someone got injured. I was just like, oh. But
we can spoil it.
Oh, okay. So the mom's boyfriend, who's a D-bag, he like
perfect
goes home to his family.
All right.
And he's taking down Christmas lights. Which I could never figure out what time of movie this
is. So I'm almost positive
out,
the original one is set at Christmas.
So this one is clearly set after Christmas, because he's taking down Christmas lights, but then they're launching the Buddy 2 doll, and I'm like, who launches a toy after Christmas? But okay.
Oh.
But he's taking down Christmas lights, and Chucky shows up to get him, and he falls off the ladder, and he like falls straight down. And like, you see him
like
land
legs,
like, yeah, you see him land on his feet, and then like, and it was like, and then
that's a good one.
They both break,
yeah,
and like you very visibly, and it was like, that was a little cringe inducing to watch.
Okay.
But then it was like, but then there's like the dumb part where he uses like a rototiller that happens to be in the yard, because it's after Christmas, but you have a rototiller. But I'm pretty sure this takes place. I think the
original one's definitely in New York.
I know it's in Chicago.
Oh, you're right. It is in Chicago.
This one looked kind of like Detroit, but I'm not sure.
Well,
but either way, either way, like, you wouldn't have a rototiller in your yard.
What's a rototiller?
Like, to churn up the ground.
Oh, okay.
And like, the ground would be frozen.
Right. Gotcha. So what's the point?
Yeah, and so he uses the rototiller to like go after him, and that's pretty gross. And
That doll's strong enough to mow over a person.
Well, he's not running it. Like, he just turns it on, and then it goes for
it's
him.
On a track,
oh, it's
Kevin.
A auto, it's a the, powered rototiller?
Yeah. And then, But then the thing that irritated me about the scene was that, like, he's, like, all tangled up in the Christmas lights, and there's this big giant strand, and the rototiller's approaching him, and it's chewing up the lights as it approaches him, you
right.
know?
He's not spinning around.
And I'm like, no. I'm like, how are the lights still on?
That's a great point.
Well, they got those ones where if you break a bulb, it stays on.
But these lights are the really big, old-school bulbs. Uh-huh. And I'm like...
It makes a good sound.
If it's chewing up, then it's severed the cord. Right. It's not so
plugged
in. Oh,
that's true,
in.
Yeah. I think the cord... They do not stay on when the cord is cut in two.
How are the lights still on? I it sounds like people that like these sort of things were okay with it. It certainly did not do something enough to... You know, it's not like Hereditary where I'm like, if you don't like horror movies, you should see this one. Like, if you don't like horror movies, you're missing nothing.
I'm very excited for Midsommar. I'm hearing
Midsommar.
Well, yeah. Well, it's coming out Midsommar.
Yeah,
though,
it's true.
So.
Yeah, it's fair.
I was just telling you, I was excited for Midsommar.
Yeah.
And that's because another movie that isn't that is coming out. I don't know. But with Child's Play, the thing that from the pictures and the little clips I've seen on Twitter that are going around, the thing that I don't like about it is that the My Buddy looks so CG. Like,
yeah.
Horror movies used to be all about practical effects and puppets and everything. Yeah. And, of course, the original Child's Play, I mean, that's a puppet.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, does it look really bad in CG? Because in the little clips I've seen, I'm like, God, he looks so fake.
I thought I read that they were doing a practical puppet.
I don't know. There were some of those scenes that I saw that it did not look practical.
That's what I mean. I mean, I haven't seen it, but just from the clips.
I wonder if it's a mixture of like that there are some things they just couldn't do with a puppet. Right. But
I got to tell you, that original puppet, like it's a good model. And then the second puppet's even better because in the second movie, because there's so much damage to the original puppet, like it's so now it's got like, you know, there's they put goop on it on the new one.
He's scarred up.
Yeah, he's scarred. Well, the scars don't come in until like not three, the one
when the female one is introduced.
Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky. That's a real movie.
Who's the one that does the voice?
Jennifer Tilly.
She also plays Jennifer Tilly.
Correct.
The actress.
Yes.
In the
movie.
No way.
Yeah. She has a cameo as herself.
Well, she's not a cameo.
No,
she's like a main character.
It's a main character.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, in the old movies. Sorry. I thought, I thought you meant in this one she had. Because I saw her, she was, along with Brad Dourif, she was one of the people bad-mouthing this because I guess they didn't have her or she's involved with the TV show or something.
Yeah. She probably
so on
will
Twitter,
be. Well,
she
yeah,
was...
because I would assume that Brad Dourif and Jennifer Tilly are probably involved with the Chucky TV show.
Because she tweeted something out when it was first announced about... She just did not seem pleased. She was taking shots at it or something.
It's almost like, yeah, but you got the TV show. So shut up. You know, it's not like this is a reboot. Your character and your storyline.
I don't
get
how those two things can coexist and be in conflict.
Well,
like,
I think it's the... Oh, I don't know. So Don Mancini, I think, who is the writer of the original script.
Right.
I think somehow retained the... Like, it's almost like the George Romero and then the other guy who like did Night of the Living... There's two guys that did Night of the Living Dead.
What,
Romero...
Didn't he just not renew his copyright?
No, so like Romero... There were so like Return of the Living Dead, that movie that from the 80s, is the other guy who helped create Night of the Living Dead.
Kind of like James Bond with Spectre.
Yeah.
And Speed, and what was the Never Say Never Again was a was technically a remake of what, Speedball?
No.
Thunderball.
Thunderball.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, so
Speedball was the John Belushi movie.
Yeah, so it didn't end well.
Yeah.
So like Night of the Living Dead, like there were, so Return of the Living Dead wanted to, everybody says that like Romero would be like, hey, can you sign this and say, you know, eat more brains? And Romero's like, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
It's the other guy that did that. Mm. But they were both worked on Night of the Living Dead. So I think that there are just some weird right issues when it comes to Chucky, where Don Mancini kind of says, well, I created that. I created this. I created this. That's
good
mine.
For him. I mean,
and then you can have the Child's Play name. You can have the Chucky doll. But this is. Yeah. Like, I have the rights to this original story. I think he wrote them all, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was reading up on Wikipedia, and he seemed like he was involved, if not in all of them, really deep into the process.
Big time. And then they did two weird ones, like, there at the end. It was like
straight-to-video ones.
Yeah, it was the
Curse of Chucky.
And the Cult of Chucky.
Yeah.
And they revolve around Brad Dourif's daughter, His real life daughter actually plays the main character.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Huh. Well, I guess I won't run out to see that one.
No.
I think you're fine.
Home video it is. But anyway, so yeah, $14 million on a $10 million budget, and that's not including overseas yet. So, you know, probably will make a few bucks, so good for that one. Don't know if it's enough to make a new franchise out of it, though.
I think no.
Yeah.
I think the TV show's safe.
So coming in at number three, wow, Aladdin still sticking around. $12.5 million is a 28% drop. So I guess all the kids that didn't see it during the school year are going out this summer and seeing it. $287 million domestic.
You got to ask yourself, what
happened?
Piece of crap parent takes their kid to see Aladdin
when they go see Child's Play?
When Toy Story 4 is open.
Yeah.
Five weeks later.
What are you thinking?
It's also like
that's just got divorced dad written all over.
Look, I want to go see this one over here. You go to Aladdin.
Take you to the new kids movie that's out.
Oh, great. Toy Story 4.
I should clarify, an unplugged divorced dad.
Sure, right.
We're not all like that. But yeah, like that's I'm like now who's going to see Aladdin when Toy Story 4 is open.
And I would say, well, it's all the people that couldn't get a ticket to Toy Story, but when the age of digital, they pretty much put it on enough screens where in a half hour you can catch the next show.
Yeah, when it's on almost 4,600 screens and it made $120 million, which is nothing to sneeze at, but it also tells me that it wasn't like Endgame where people were scalping tickets on eBay.
Yeah.
And so you could have got it.
Right.
Like,
and it's also, I feel like Disney's starting to become the snake that ate its own tail. You know, like, so they've got Aladdin, which is in the top three. They've got Toy Story, which is, I mean, they're just pulling, I guess they're not really pulling money away from, like, it's all going to the same place.
I think their bigger,
it's not like,
I think their bigger problem is that they're strip mining their past.
That is true.
They're going to run out of these to remake eventually.
Like, you know, nobody's going to be like, ooh, a live action Three Caballeros. Sign me up.
Well.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Let me get that live action Sword in the Stone and we'll be all right.
So Aladdin has made almost $300 million domestic and another approaching $500 million overseas. So before this weekend's estimates are finished, we're over $750 million worldwide on a $183 million budget. So you know what that means.
Live-action Return of Jafar.
Aladdin Return of Jafar.
They're going to re-release it with extra footage.
Oh, no, only Endgame does that, Joe. Come on.
Sorry.
So, yeah, making a lot of money. I mean, for as bad as that movie looked and as worried as we were about it, Disney's pocketbooks are not too worried about it.
They don't care.
It's making the money. Coming at number four, though, one that should be worried about their pocketbooks, Men in Black International with $11 million, already a 63% drop from a lackluster opening, $52.9 million domestic total. So you can go listen to our episode from last week, but definitely not what they expected. I think the overseas money is the only thing that's going to be able to save this one, at least from losing a ton. It had a $110 million budget, but it's already made over $75 million overseas alone. So
the only way you're getting another Men in Black is if they get back Will Smith.
Yeah, well, that'll be the next thing. They'll get him. They'll see this, and if they want to keep that franchise alive, they'll have
to pay
him.
Can we do that 21 Jump Street crossover now?
Yeah. Oh, I wish they did. So coming in at number five.
I read an interesting article about why they didn't do that, and I'm like, okay, I get. If you're a suit, they were like, okay, but if we do a 21 Jump Street and Men in Black crossover and it doesn't work,
we screwed ourselves out of two franchises.
We just killed two franchises.
Yikes.
But can you kill a franchise that hasn't had it? Like, they're not coming back to do a 23 Jump Street.
In today's world, it doesn't look like you can ever kill a franchise.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. They're always going to give it another chance.
Hence, Halloween
or Terminator. They haven't made a good Terminator movie since Terminator 2.
And they keep doing it. But this one has James Cameron.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the right reaction.
That guy's on thin ice.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not directing
it. No, it's Tim Miller.
He's producing it.
We'll have to see what, but you're right. It's kind of crazy how they can keep coming out with these franchises and reboots that people didn't ask for, and you think that they're done, and they keep coming back. It's just a bizarre bankrupt world of Hollywood that just keeps
like their own horror movies. Yeah. Just when you think they're dead, they come back for another one.
Absolutely. So coming in at number five, The Secret Life of Pets 2 with another $10.9 million. That's a 55% drop in week three, $118 million domestic on that one. So I guess losing Louis C.K. didn't end their run. The kids didn't mind.
Yeah. But he was an ancillary character.
No, he was the main character.
Was he?
He was the main
character. He was Max.
I don't remember that as being a main character.
And Patton Oswalt took over for the main character.
I don't remember that as being a main character.
Yeah. I mean, it was like an ensemble, but it was...
Right, there were so many animals.
But Max is definitely
Max
the main...
Max is like... It's
the main dog.
And the big goober dog.
That movie just completely... slid out of my head.
It's because it's Illumination and you hate the Minions.
Also,
so.
there's a Louis C.K. joke in there somewhere about sliding out and
I thought that you meant Secret Life of Pets too. They made a Louis C.K.
Oh,
joke.
That'd be hilarious if they did.
Yeah. So that one is around $180 million on an $80 million budget.
Just hope it wouldn't involve a red rocket.
Next, why did I not just skip over that one? I don't know. So, number.
Speaking of rockets,
yes,
coming in number six is what?
I'll hand it to you. I definitely missed that one, but coming in at number six is Rocket Man, Tom.
Hey,
not Red Rocket Man, Rocket Man.
The Louis C.K. story.
No.
Right? No.
5.9.
You just stand there and watch.
5.9 million is a 37% drop, and that one is at $77.5 million.
The tumbleweed erection.
Delightful film about Elton John's life, and it's
Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
It's made about $70 million overseas as well. So.
I'm still standing. That
one still
don't
works.
Even got to change it.
Touche. So we're approaching $150 million on a $40 million budget.
I mean, good for that. Like I said, it was. We did an episode on it, so go back and listen to that.
It's a good movie. Yeah, go listen to the episode and go see it. You know, Joe doesn't like musicals, and it is. I mean, have no doubts.
It's definitely
musical.
Yeah.
So you know what? If you can convince Joe that it's an all right movie,
or
then...
you just trick Joe.
Maybe the secret for a musical to work on Joe is that they have to use classic rock instead of show tunes.
That I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we get the Metallica musical? That'd be all right.
Mamma Mia was all with Kiss songs, you'd be good.
Holy Christ, that'd be amazing.
With the success of some of these movies and all this coming out, I would not doubt you will be getting a biopic musical of all these.
That one wouldn't be that bad. That'd be a fun one.
Which one?
A Kiss biopic.
Yeah. But so this one is basically a jukebox musical like Mamma Mia is. And so the question is, I mean, are you going to get a biopic like Bohemian Rhapsody? Maybe that was a bad example, but that style
it is
of
your
a,
only other
that
example.
Style. Well, but
that's a biopic.
But that's a biopic where there's songs in the movie. Whereas, you know, Rocket Man's really cool because it is like Mamma Mia.
The songs
does.
Tell the story.
They wrap it around. And
you
and,
couldn't do that with Kiss. There's no emotional resonance
behind
the
songs.
Boys are, the boys are back in town. Come on, Tom.
That's Lizzie. That's not them.
Oh,
that's
damn
Lizzie.
Yeah, good call. Well, we can't then. Sorry.
I think you could wrap something around Love Gun.
Yeah, condom.
That's true. Yeah. That's where I was going with that. Yeah. Thank you.
So it's making some money. I think it deserves the success. I would love to see it doing a little better. I mean, because Bohemian Rhapsody made $1 billion, basically, and this one's at 150, which seems so unfair.
Do you think that's based on Queen? Do you think Queen is more popular than Elton John?
Well, apparently.
I mean, musically.
Apparently.
Yeah, I guess that's
right. It's a shame the timing wasn't reversed, because I feel like if that had been first and then people saw Bohemian Rhapsody, they'd be like,
but give
I don't
Oscar
think so.
The...
I think this targets a totally different demo.
I think it does.
I think the people that, you know, that are seeing and loving Bohemian Rhapsody, and it was a fun movie. Like, I'm not, I haven't turned on it in quite the same way you have.
No, I think,
but
it's okay.
It was a fun movie, but at the end of the day, it's a delivery system for Queen songs.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what this, I mean, it's Elton John, this Rocket Man is kind of the same, but also like in a more,
but it
it's
utilizes,
so much
in a,
more.
In a more, but it utilizes those songs
in
such a different manner.
Yes.
So in Bohemian Rhapsody, you're just watching it to wait until Freddie Mercury and Queen play their songs.
Right,
Rocket Man, it's dream sequences, and it is like Tom said, telling the story.
It's
so
sequences,
different.
It's a dream sequence.
Yeah,
that whole movie.
So it's so artistically and creatively, and I think performance wise, I mean, everything about Rocket Man is so much better. And I mean, I was lukewarm when I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, and I don't think it's held up, and I don't think it will hold up. But made a ton of money, and that's
and the dude got an Oscar out of it. Like, I mean, that's a big deal for an actor. Like, there's not you. How many best actors have there been?
Hey, they did some whining and dining over there.
Right. I mean, that's a small number out of everybody that's acting in Hollywood. Yeah. 77 people have been.
Or whatever year they're on. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but either way, I mean, you know, the awards aren't all that matters.
I just mean from like from his standpoint. I mean,
oh,
like,
no,
yeah,
totally. I'm just saying we're basing this on it sucks to win that award. Part of it's because awards bring you more money. And
sure.
So it sucks that this is such a good movie and, you know, it probably will be forgotten by Oscar time.
What was the Weinstein one that they pushed relentlessly? Was it Shakespeare in Love?
Oh yeah,
is that the one
he rocked the system by
beat out Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah, for no good reason. Like, that movie has no business even being in the same conversation as Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, right. But anyway, so that's Rocket Man. Go see it if you have a chance. It's good. Listen to the episode. Number 7, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, $3.9 million, a 56% drop. I would say go listen to that episode, too. It's a very special episode where we have a guest that's from Mystery Science Theater 3000,
that
Joel Hodgson. So it was great to get him on the show, so go listen. It's a fun time. I would say listen. That's one of those where we can save you $10 on the ticket.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely listen to the episode.
So apparently Godzilla vs. Kong is done.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's getting decent. Like, they're like,
oh, finished production.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they're just like, this is pretty good. And I think that has a lot to do with the director. Like, Mike Doherty isn't, I mean, no offense to Mike Doherty, but he's not exactly a proven director.
Okay.
The guy that is doing Kong versus Zilla is Adam Wingard, who is a proven director.
Yeah.
You know, he's got not some massive hits, but he's got a lot of.
He's an indie horror director.
He kind of came up in that, like,
what was that called?
So there's like You're Next and House
what was
of
that
the
group
Devil.
Of directors called though? Didn't they have a name?
Oh,
for,
I don't know.
For what they're
but they were just like the atmospheric horror rather than blood and guts. But yeah, so like it's getting decent reviews. I don't think they're gonna give it its release date back. I think they're gonna keep it. I guess so. It's supposed to come out next year, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to push it off to
2021. Summer, it will be like that February or April spot.
Yes.
See, that's smart because if it performs well there,
that movie would want it.
Would kill there.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Literally.
Yes.
Oh. So yeah, it's interesting how the release dates don't really matter anymore. As far as in, you can't just count a movie out because they're getting smart.
Oh, like, sure.
Why do we have to wait? And with digital distribution and more theaters, it's not so much a competition type thing. It's like if people want to see it, they'll throw it on a screen and people will go.
We'll go.
But I do agree though, especially with the lackluster box office of Godzilla, at least domestic. It's just cracking the 100 million domestic. Now overseas, Godzilla King of the Monsters made 250 million. So on a $170 million budget, it's not setting the world ablaze, at least outside of the movie, but it's about doubling its budget so far. So
180 minutes of just them smashing each other.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Now, are you talking about the porn parody or?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever you can get. 180 minutes of smashing.
I don't know where you're going to find Godzilla's wiener if we haven't seen it yet. So
that is a
or his butthole.
That is a interesting. Has any movie
Green Rocket?
Has any movie ever done that? Like, because you never see the genitalia on monsters. Has any monster movie ever gone out and done that to address like
werewolf balls? I mean, they reference it in Monster Squad, but you never see them. Like,
we don't count that. I said movie, not.
Yeah, it's a movie. But he's wearing pants. Like, I don't, you know,
you sound really disappointed. You were like,
he's wearing pants.
You were like kind of disgusted.
I mean, it is what it is. Nobody wants
he's
to see
wearing
it.
Pants.
Wearing
like,
pants.
Like literally in 6 years of doing this, the first complaint about Monster Squad
wearing pants
is the fact that the Wolfman is wearing pants. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. How do we know he really does have nards?
Yeah. I mean, because he howls. He does react. Well,
are you saying female Wolfmen can't howl?
No,
is that what you're saying?
Female wolfman? Women.
No, this is 2019, Tom. They're wolfmen. A woman can be a wolfman.
It's just one name. It's their last name. Oh, it's Marge Wolfman. Good, excellent, very good.
She's a wolfman.
Oh, the wolfmans are over.
Oh, Christ, it's a full
moon.
Honey,
we got to go to the wolfmans tonight. Oh.
They brought their tuna casserole.
Tell them I have a headache.
I'm not going.
Anyway, number 8, John.
Where is she at on her cycle? I'm not going.
Well, it's every night. Well, I guess it's the full moon. It's not just the moon. That's true, right? Yeah. It's just the full moon.
It's a double entendre there, Kevin. Talking about her cycle.
Well, I know. And I was saying it's every night, but it's actually only full moon.
Only full moons.
Yeah.
So you get, like, you know.
Yeah, boy, when do wolf women menstruate? I hope that, do you think it's tied to when they actually become, or how would that work? So would it be that, could they be turn into a werewolf?
On their cycle?
While they're on their cycle? Or is turning into a werewolf, is that their cycle?
I guess it could sync up.
Does that mean female werewolves are always on their period? Or does that mean it would explain a lot. It would only be, like, it would still have to fall in phase. And so sometimes they're werewolves, but sometimes they're werewolves on their period.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Sounds like the worst.
This is
all staying in, right?
You can imagine how, like, I mean, their fur is going to get all matted.
Is this my blood or their blood?
Can you guys give me a second to edit, to pause?
No, we're not going to give you any silence so you can find this later.
We're going to keep talking.
I'll figure it out. 500 of these things. I've gotten pretty good at it. Coming in at number 8, John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, $3.8 million.
So when does John Wick have his period?
That's a great
How
question.
How do you think that that
That's a great question.
Tom, I think you need to go back to special ed, whatever they learned, the health class. What was the class where they teach about the...
Oh, I went to Catholic school. They didn't teach us shit. Yeah.
They're like, well, God puts the baby in the mom's belly.
No, Catholic schools teach you all about periods because that's birth control.
Yeah.
That's all you
the
got.
The rhythm method.
That's all you got, man.
Yeah. It's funny. You get to like 17, you're like, no.
Okay. I see. So I didn't go to Catholic school. So I was wondering, like, well, how do they, because in public schools, they teach you about condoms and birth control.
They teach you about the right way to do it.
Right. Yeah. But then and then I'm like, well, but they don't, what do they teach you to pull out in Catholic school? But they don't want you to have sex, so there is
right.
no
I mean, yeah.
It's just absence.
It is, but they also are anti-birth control, so it's
that's what I mean. They don't teach that.
You can only have sex when the woman is ovulating, and then they have to like figure that out by like the height of the sun in the sky
you can,
or whatever.
If you can have sex with your wife when
I guess that's
whenever
yeah,
you
yeah,
would
yeah.
like. But the but
sex is not for fun.
Every act of sex is supposed to be open to procreation.
Yeah.
So
there was one family.
So they're saying
school
even though
like,
you
Jesus.
Know that she can't get pregnant or probably can't.
Well, because you know your math could have been wrong or something. So like something
that's how
could,
they okay.
something
your
could still go wrong.
Your decimal point was off by a thing.
Yeah, you're not supposed to use any
contraception.
Like, yeah, any contraception.
You don't keep track of it, so that way you don't really...
No, you keep track of it. Like you're that's the only thing that they allow is what they call the rhythm method. Which
buddy,
is probably easier that... now with apps and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
But it's still not near as...
Now...
I have a friend who has children because of the rhythm method.
Sure.
Do they keep track of the size of the boat method? Or do they adhere...
No,
they don't adhere
no
to
Kevin, it's the man in the boat.
No.
It's the man of the boat.
Well, if you care about your woman, then yes, but not everyone's so thoughtful. So,
but my Wolfman period jokes are a problem?
Yes, they are. So,
Dan just sat up and says, there's a disturbance in the podcast for us.
As if thousands of women cried out in anger.
I think it's funny you think thousands of women listen to the show.
I think it's cute that you think this is making it in the podcast. So, coming in at number 8, why is the podcast only 30 minutes this week? With two reviews. $155 million domestic for John Wick, Chapter 3 Parabellum, another 130-ish overseas. So we're approaching the $300 million worldwide.
That's
on an undisclosed budget.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, I you know, that feels like a movie. I'm in a ballpark, like a $90 million budget. Does that sound right?
I feel
right?
like that's high. I would say like 65
special
to 70.
Effects. It's a third movie.
It's
There's
third
some
movie with him. Yeah, I
feel,
guess that's true.
I feel like it because I feel like it's a low budget for this type of movie. So I think they could keep it in that right around 100 type of thing.
And,
so
and Keanu's got two movies in the top 10.
Yeah, you know, Keanu's doing all right for himself.
What a weird...
Getting cast in everything.
Yeah, he's
the Keanu-sans.
I do like the
$75 million. So,
yeah. Oh, that's pretty good.
So,
that's solid.
So, yeah, it's you know, they're happy with that, and they are set up for a fourth, and they said if you want us to make the fourth, go out and see this, and they did.
Go to our Patreon.
It's
in other
over
words,
triple its
go
budget.
Go to the theaters.
You know, it's, so I think they're happy with that, and I think we will get a John Wick chapter.
Who do you cast him as in the MCU? Because that's the big debate.
I mean, so Reed Richards.
No.
Okay. Adam Warlock.
I'll give you that one.
And
he's too old for Wolverine.
Yeah, though. Yeah, that's why everyone says Wolverine. I'm like, he turned it down 20 years ago.
Yeah,
he's not getting any younger. I don't know why he would A, think he could do it better now unless he just wants the paycheck, but that's not Keanu. He's not that type of, you know, obviously he gives money away. He's sure. Very, you know, so I don't think he would do that. But
Silver Surfer. That's what I do.
Too, but I don't know that I want to see Surfer. I mean, I think that's cute, but I don't know that I want to see Surfer Keanu back. You know, like you, it's like, oh, Surfer
you,
dude.
No,
Silver
no,
Surfer.
No. You would not get the. You would not get Bill and Ted on a surfboard. You would get like, you know, monotone. I just think I think it'd be fun to see him as the Silver Surfer.
That's cute, but also,
and Larry Fishburne was the Silver Surfer before that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, when you're the main thing with him though is that it's always like CG. He's always silver.
Yeah. Oh.
So I think with Keanu now,
they'd find a way to be like, no. He could just turn that on and off.
Yeah. If they were gonna have him do it, they'd have him not be silver.
I could see him as Adam Warlock. That's a
good one. Adam Warlock. Yeah. I think that would be pretty cool. Someone actually did a concept, and it wasn't like drawing, it was like they
digital
photoshopped
art.
It to look real.
Yeah,
and so it was Keanu in an Adam Warlock suit, and I'm like, okay,
I would do him as Adam Warlock and Zac Efron as Nova.
But you know, for me with his age now, and I feel like, you know,
hey,
if he
who
Keanu
who? Oh, okay.
I feel like if you know, with you cut his hair a little bit, give him that gray streak, you know,
I
I'm like
see that.
I'm like I just really feel like he could do it. And even though you don't typically see Keanu Reeves as a brilliant scientist type, but we have
we
seen him
did,
play a scientist,
and it was awful.
What was it?
Well, but
that movie,
oh,
but the
chain reaction,
is that what it was called?
Yeah.
It was the
replicas,
was,
right?
Replica. That's
oh,
what I was thinking of. Yeah,
chain reaction is the one where like they figure out a way to power things with water.
Oh, so was he a scientist?
Yes,
too?
Yeah.
But that movie Replicas was terrible. I don't think it was Keanu's fault, and so I think that he could do it. I know that maybe it's not what we're used to seeing him as, but for some reason, the look at his age right now, I feel like he could pull off Reed Richards. I don't know why, but
I feel like Reed needs to be like 35 to 40, like in that range.
But I mean, the actors can play down or up, and Keanu looks, he's one of those,
he's
a
vampire.
Never ages. So.
It's him and Nick Cage.
Yeah. So anyway, but John Wick is doing all right either way. So we'll be seeing you.
Yeah.
How about, let's put it that way. One that we will not be seeing again, at least under this envelope, is Dark Phoenix. The Fox Men are over. 3.7 million, a 60% drop. It's number 9 in week 3.
Pulling it out of theaters already.
It's Oof. Starting to drop up out of theaters. Yeah. It's in 20. I'm sorry. It is in just over 2,000 screens in week 3.
I was hoping you would just say two.
Two screens.
It lost 1,667 screens.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, that's huge. Almost half in 3 weeks for an X-Men superhero movie.
Bad news, man.
What a crazy thing. And
they limped that thing into finish as best they could.
Yeah. It's I feel
they
bad.
They drove that car into the wall and were like, no, we can make it.
Yeah. I feel bad for the people involved. It's just, it's like,
I don't though. Like, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for Kinsberg at all.
No, but I feel bad. I mean, for the actors though, there's some good
That's
actors
fair.
In the movie.
That's
and
yeah,
I just,
but they, you know, here's how I look at that. They got paid. This hurts none of their
you
careers.
Don't think so? I
nah.
mean,
no.
I
don't
so
think,
young
because no, nobody looks at this movie failing as a reflection on the actors.
Yeah, no one's it's, saying the acting is
it's
the,
a reflection on the franchise
yeah.
and how the franchise has been handled
okay.
and the merger. And
yeah.
nobody's like, oh, Michael Fassbender, you really screwed it up.
I guess I just feel bad when you have actors that did, you know, they did the best they could
yeah.
and they're solid actors. And then this movie gets trashed, something that they put time and effort into. I guess I just feel bad that it's like, it's not their fault, but yet they're in this terrible movie.
Yeah.
That gets,
I can see if it was like an independent flick. You know what I mean? Like
they could wipe their tears with
yeah.
their check.
Yeah.
I
you know what I mean? Like
true.
With an independent flick, there's some blood and guts and
yeah.
tears on there. With this one, it's just like, well, I worked for Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
is, I mean, this is a paycheck movie.
Exactly.
And
true.
And I don't mean that they don't take it seriously, but like, this isn't a passion project.
That's
for
what
any
yeah,
of these actors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence is like, I'm not wearing that stupid
it's a,
ass makeup.
It's a,
this is the
what's
movie.
What's the opposite of a passion project?
A paycheck.
The, this a is, paycheck movie.
This is the movie she makes so she can go make 15 Mothers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that was Aronofsky, but
what's that?
Mothers. That was Aronofsky. Well, I guess she.
But
they,
I mean,
she can be.
She
in
was
it.
In it.
She's
yeah,
in
sure,
it.
Like
sure,
that,
sure.
she can afford to be in that
She's
movie.
She's gonna start. She like, can I be in this guy, the Hereditary guy's movies from
yeah.
now on?
Right.
But,
yeah.
But she can afford to be in that movie, making next to nothing.
Sure.
Because she made a movie like this.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Right.
There you go. So rounding out the top 10.
Oh man, it made it.
The second film mini discussion we're going to have, Anna.
Oof.
Not Anna, right? Because Anna's from Frozen. Do they say Anna?
They say Anna.
Are they clear to be like,
they say
Anna.
Anna M, because she's from Moscow.
Ooh, okay. Well,
that's Anna, a line of dialogue from this movie.
Well, hopefully Anna M did better in Moscow because it made $3.6 million in the U.S.
It is not good.
$3.6 million on an undisclosed budget. I have no overseas number, which it's directed by Luc Besson, so I don't know if it's going
to
have following in
There's
France.
There's a co-director to this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a co-director.
Yeah, there was another name. Like, I couldn't see it, but there was another name attached to this.
And listed as director Luc Besson, yeah. Writer Luc Besson, so they tagged it on there?
Yeah.
Huh.
What
is this about? It looked like Red Sparrow.
It's Red Sparrow meets John Wick.
Okay.
Like, that's the only way I could... It's the Walmart version of that.
Okay.
She is a dope fiend that gets... You know, her dad was in the military. She gets picked up by Luke Evans, kind of indoctrinated into the KGB. She kind of says, I want 5 years and you're out. Well, of course, you know, that's not going to happen. There's a whole bunch like Helen.
Does she say I'm only 1 week away from retirement?
No, but she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm retired. Like it's not.
Does she speak in a Russian accent?
Yeah, sort of.
Is it French Russian?
Yes. Like it's in and out. This has Cillian Murphy, Luke Evans.
Does it have Cillian Murphy?
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Oh, Cillian it's Murphy. Irish. I always thought it was. All right. Scarecrow, Gaston, and Helen Mirren.
Scarecrow, Gaston, and Helen Mirren. Yes. I
and
like that.
So, like, you've got some heavyweight actors mm-hmm. who are doing their best. Okay. And it's just like this guy turns on this person. This person turned like there's all like they do the whole triple double quadruple.
Well, this is a mini review. You can actually go into it.
Oh,
a little
I guess that's
more
true. Yeah, okay.
So what is the crux of this story? So she's a
so
special
she,
agent.
She's
or weak
a,
from
she's an assassin.
Okay.
That gets you know she only wants to do this for 5 years, sure. But she's very good at her job. They're not going to let her go for 5 years. Like yeah. You're in once you're in the KGB, you're in for life.
Do they re-sign her to a better contract?
Oh no.
Does she go free agent or
no? Your contract is life. Like there's no negotiating once you're in.
Oh, your contract's up, so we're going to be re-signing you to life.
Correct. So she's doing these hits, and then the problem is there's so many time jumps. So we jump, we see that like your opening scene in 1990 or whatever. Then it jumps back 5 years. Then it jumps forward 3 months. Then it goes back 4 years. Then it jumps forward another 4 months. And I was just like.
Oh,
stop
geez.
It. Like,
and what's the point? What are they trying to do with these
so
time jumps?
She, like, it's almost like in the Ocean movies mm-hmm. when you see something happen and then they go back and show you that thing again, but from the other perspective and realize what was working.
Okay.
Right? So, like, the whole opening scene is this, photographer, this French photographer is looking for a model and somehow he ends up in this market and stumbles upon our main character. Who he brings in as a model. And the entire time you're watching this opening scene, I was like, everybody sucks. Like, this is so weird. Like, what is the problem with all of the, everybody's so stiff. Well, then you come to find out everything except for the photographer is a setup by the KGB to get this photographer to this girl.
Oh, they pulled a Mission Impossible. Like when they
basically,
staged that.
Yeah. So that's what they're trying to do. So Anna uh-huh, gets see? Brought into this, you know, so her cover is she's a supermodel. Which gets her all around the world working jobs, and they do hits around the world where she's at. Mm. So, like, it's just, you know, that's the premise. She gets kind of turned by Cillian Murphy discovers who she is, says either you come work for the United States, you need to take out the head of the Kremlin.
That's hilarious. I was going to joke that the United States tries
oh,
to get
course.
This Russian.
And they do.
And then it actually is.
Yeah. Yes. She absolutely like turns on turns on the KGB.
Not good timing to release a movie about
I was
Russia.
Thinking the exact same thing. I was like, I don't think. Well,
I know you probably don't live in America, but you may want to turn on the news every
it's
once
so
in a while.
It's so weird. I was just listening to a podcast, and they're doing it like live shows in Australia, uh-huh. and they're just like, you don't understand that like United States news that's just in the United States is world news. Yeah. Like it infiltrates every part. Like they're in Australia, and they're just like, we turn on, and it's just like American news. Like, they don't even talk about Australian news. It's just all America.
Because there's a dingo ate a baby and a shrimp and on the Barbie.
And a tan schlub in the White House who just keeps making crap go crazy. So, but yeah, so, like, the Americans turn her, but do they turn her? Like, is she playing the Americans?
A double?
Yes. But then there's a triple cross where Helen Mirren's character, like, at the end of the movie, basically, Cillian Murphy hires the girl to kill the head of the Kremlin, to kill the head of the KGB.
Does she go in through a tunnel behind the Papa John?
There is definitely a tunnel.
because if I know anything, it's that, like, you can get to the Kremlin through a Papa John.
She slides under a door. Like, does that count? I guess. In the basement of the Kremlin. So, like, basically, she gets all the information on the U.S. government. She gets all the information on the Russian government. And she says, I'm out. Like, I will give each of you your information back. But if something I have, you give me 6 months. If something happens to me within those 6 months, I'm releasing everything. Whatever. Helen Mirren says, you don't mess with the Russian government, and shoots her in the chest. But it turns out the triple fake is that Helen Mirren has been on it the entire time
and got her out
So
look at that.
Yeah. It's like it tried to be this art house version of Red Sparrow and John Wick. It just doesn't work.
See, what I thought was funny when I saw the trailer for this is one that I was in the theater and it played ahead of a movie, and it was about this female badass, you know, operative that's been trained, whatever. And then at the end, they're like, Anna. And I'm like, there's a really good movie called Hanna.
Oh, there is
about
a badass super soldier
who was trained by government
with Eric Bana, right?
Saoirse Ronan. It was when she was a little girl in that movie. Yeah,
and then they remade it into a show,
and it's a show on Amazon now
with Joel Kinnaman and the gal from The Killing.
But I love Hanna the movie.
It
is a great movie. Yeah. And so when they said there was this badass operative, and they're like, and it flashes on screen like Anna, I'm like, oh, they just dropped the H, and they're like, make her an adult assassin. But
yeah, it was
go see Hanna if you haven't seen it.
Yes, go see Hanna. Go see Atomic Blonde, which is way better.
Atomic
Blonde's a lot of fun.
I know it got kind of like middling.
No, I think that's a fun action
flick.
I
love the look of it. That
Charlize
neon.
Charlize Theron is a babe.
She's cool. She's a badass.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
Did you listen to her How Did This Get Made episode?
Oh, I'm sure I did.
It was her and Seth Rogen.
Oh, because Long Shot.
Well, because June Diane Raphael
is in
Long
Shot.
So they
I like that
podcast.
To see that. Yeah. Like, June Diane Raphael pops up in all these little movies, lots of comedies. But it was kind of cool. Where I'm like, she's a major role in Long Shot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm used to knowing her from How Did This Get Made?
Right. But yeah, it's a mess. I have to believe. I don't know how this guy keeps making movies.
Oh, I mean,
they make
that,
a lot of money in France. And
did that Valerian movie make any money
worldwide? I mean, I think it made way more overseas.
Oh, it did.
I mean, that movie is made for the international market, just like Men in Black is making double or triple over there already. It's like they're making these movies, these big budget sci-fi action movies, like that sells. That translates in any language.
Sure.
And he's the guy to make those type of things.
Also,
but,
like, she hooks up with Cillian Murphy and Luke Evans, who, like, Cillian Murphy is this top dog.
Wouldn't you?
No, absolutely.
I mean,
wait, with who?
Go ahead.
Clarify. But I mean, like, so
nope, we got what we needed.
But I mean, so it's Luke Evans and Cillian Murphy, who are like the two top dogs of both of their organizations. You would think that they'd be like, huh, I feel like she might be playing me because she wants to have sex. But no, they're just like, no, I love you.
Now, the question is,
men are dumb when it comes
to
stuff
true,
like that.
Yeah.
Now, did they use the rhythm method?
I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
Check the bonus features
and a bonus features. So, yeah, I would say it's a swing and a miss.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, check it out on when it's free on HBO Go.
Exactly,
or part of your subscription. All right. Well, that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, you can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or at our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month gets you all sorts of bonus content.
Less than a price of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and maybe you can end up on the show. So
maybe.
So there, that's it for this
if
one.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Toy Story 4. Until then, you've been warned.
I thought they'd never leave.
You got a friend in me.
Woody?
You got troubles. Well, I've got them too. There isn't anything. Got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, bigger and stronger too.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.